your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato. As always, the host of the show, glad to be bringing you some conversations with some of our great local hosts all about some of the biggest news happening in the NHL lately. Of course, since the last time we spoke, we had the Seattle Kraken expansion draft, so we now know a little bit more what the NHL's newest franchise is going to be looking like. We also had the regular old entry draft, where each team got to select a whole bunch of shiny new boys to help pin their hopes and their future dreams all on. And of course, you can't have a draft without having a whole bunch of trades, and so we had a lot of player movement as well. Today we're talking to some hosts who experienced a little bit of everything, a little bit of all of the above, in terms of what their teams did since the last time we spoke here on the show. Today we are talking with Erica Ayala from Locked On Kraken as she gives us the rundown on the inaugural Seattle Kraken roster. We're also talking with Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers because her team made some surprising moves over the past week. And we've got Joe DiBiase of Locked On Sabres, who his team maybe made the biggest splash for not making a move. We're going to hear from all three of those great hosts all today on the show. So let's get things started right now by heading to Seattle and taking a look at the Kraken. Well, we had the NHL entry draft for all of the young players who will become future NHL stars, but we also had the expansion draft where the Seattle Kraken finally came into being. And today we're going to talk all about what it feels like to be the inaugural Seattle Kraken squad. So we've got Erica Ayala, host of Locked On Kraken, here with us. And let's just start out by looking at what I think I'm going to start calling, you can adopt this if you want, your Squid Squad.
Yeah. Squid Squad. We see that some fans are adapting that. So yeah, let's go for it.
I love it. So what are your feelings on the sort of group of players they drafted? I know that you were at the expansion draft, so you got to see it all go down in person in Seattle. So let's start with that. What's the flavor? What's the feeling around Seattle as people welcome their new team?
I think fans are extremely excited. I think Dave Haxtell said it best when he told the media at the event that, you know, this is the most tangible thing for a lot of fans. Sure, you know, we saw that they had great ticket sales. We know that Climate Pledge Arena is on its way. They announced preseason games, but when you have a roster, even if it's not the final roster, and we've already seen some moves, I think that the excitement is in that, like, oh man, this is really happening. And that was palpable. Everyone was having a good time. The weather was great. The guys that came to Seattle seemed to be having a blast. So it's still, we're riding that wave of excitement of being the new NHL team.
I think one of the most endearing things to me was the fact that the Kraken now have brothers with the Fleury brothers, who are not related to Marc-Andre Fleury, which I feel like is the question I saw most often of, wait, those Fleurys? No, it's a different guy. What's kind of your feeling on the guys that they drafted? Do you think that they're done, or are there still going to be moves to come as we get closer to the season starting?
I think that it's quite possible that there will be more moves. We saw that for Arizona, they went with Tyler Pitlick and then traded that for a pick in the 2022 entry draft. I get the sense that Seattle is always on the hunt for a good deal. And Ron Francis is never necessarily satisfied. And I think that this roster is a step in the right direction to where the franchise wants to be for their culture fit, which they talk about a lot and, you know, don't explain, but, I mean, at the same time, if they aren't done, and they haven't seen this group on the ice, there's not really much that we can get as far as, again, something tangible, or at least nothing that if I were the Kraken, you know, the coaching staff, the front office, you're probably not going to give all of that away. So I don't think that they're done just yet. I know that they have signed a few of these players to some contracts, but not all of them. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
We of course also had the NHL entry draft, which all with all of the young players, and the Seattle Kraken had the number 2 overall pick. And what's your feeling on how they did? I don't think their pick was a surprise. I think everyone sort of expected them to make the choice that they did, but you know, with the crop of young players who you guys are getting, who do you think that, who are you and the fans most excited about?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, Matty Beniers, everything that I had been reading was that he was going to be the pick, and they went ahead with Matthew. I think it goes without saying that he's probably the player that the fans in particular are most excited about. He's the first draft pick for the Seattle Kraken. He's the number 2 pick. So there's a lot going with that. There's also been this really interesting conversation that Beniers, a lot of people feel, mirrors Ron Francis, the player. So that's really interesting, especially going back to this whole idea of culture and fit that we keep hearing about Seattle. A lot of people calling Matty Beniers the future captain. And to be honest, everything that I was reading about the scout, you know, of Matty Beniers, that's exactly why I thought he made a good fit for this team. I think you're going to get a centerman that is going to keep growing, that already has a really high hockey IQ, can get himself out of a jam, is very patient, sees the ice well. And he knows, Matthew Beniers knows that he needs to get bigger. A lot of the guys though, throughout the draft said that, I mean, you know, these are kids basically. They're likely going to grow. And so Matthew Beniers is one of those as well. Other draft picks, I think we'll see. You look at kind of who they picked, and looking at who they picked in the expansion draft, who they picked in the entry draft, I still wonder if there will be some movement for a few more forwards. I think that the Seattle Kraken are probably going to want to find some players that are known to score, you know, and have you know, a handful of goals on their stick. I think they have a lot of really solid players, but one, because you got to score goals to win, but also two, it's a new team and there's an entertainment factor to hockey. I'm not one that usually likes to point that out, but we have to keep it real. There's an entertainment factor to hockey, and I think that they could use you know, just a little more something down the road.
Well, free agency is coming up, so we're going to get to see exactly who the Kraken add as they look to fill out their roster before the season starts. So I'm sure that we'll be hearing more from you all about the Kraken as they get ready to launch their inaugural season, to break in the brand new-ish revitalized arena in Seattle and welcome a whole bunch of excited Kraken fans to their first NHL game in Seattle. So really excited to see what happens there. I can guarantee that their in-game presentation is probably going to be pretty epic. So I'm really looking forward to the start of the Seattle Kraken. For people who want to jump on board this bandwagon now, before day one even hits, where can they find you and your show online?
Sure thing. Well, you can find the show at Locked on Kraken, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And of course, that is also the handle on social media, Instagram and Twitter. And you can see some of the stuff that I did while I was in Seattle, which was a lot of fun. And I'll be back there for preseason and the opener. That's the plan. As far as me, you can follow me at elindsay08, E-L-I-N-D-S-A-Y-08.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining, and I can't wait to hear how all the stuff goes down with Seattle Kraken as the season starts. So thanks, and we'll have you back on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Thanks again, Sarah.
Coming up to this, we're going to take a look at the Philadelphia Flyers and some of their most surprising moves that they made over the weekend. First, though, let's hear all about Built Bar, because if you are looking for a tasty protein bar that doesn't taste like you're eating a protein bar, and in fact tastes like you're eating a candy bar, well, Built Bar is exactly what you should be checking out. The greatest thing about Built Bars, other than the fact that they are covered in 100% chocolate, is that they're also good for you. They are high in protein, high in fiber, low in sugar, low in carbs, low in calories, all sorts of great stuff just for you. And if you don't want to listen to a bunch of podcasters about how great Built Bars are, well, Built Bars are also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So, you know, that's pretty darn cool. Built Bars come in a bunch of great flavors, including coconut, raspberry, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and many more. So you can go to Built.com, check out all of the options that they have available, and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. One of the teams that made some of the more surprising moves around the draft and around trades and all that great stuff has been the Philadelphia Flyers, who I feel like started with a bang by trading Nolan Patrick and trading a whole bunch of other guys who we're all going to talk about today with Rachel from Locked On Flyers. So you guys started early, I think, in making the big moves. You didn't wait just for the draft to start changing some stuff up. So for people who haven't kept up with what the Flyers have been up to, what's sort of the summary of their big moves over the past, you know, week-ish or so?
Well, before the trade freeze happened around the expansion draft, the Flyers traded Phil Myers and Nolan Patrick to the Nashville Predators for defenseman Ryan Ellis in an effort to get a top pairing defenseman to partner with Ivan Provorov. Then right before the draft on Friday, after that freeze had been lifted, the Flyers traded with the Buffalo Sabres, getting Rasmus Ristolainen, another defenseman, for Robert Haig, our first round pick in this year's draft, a second round pick in the 2023 draft. And then also between that, traded Shane Gostisbehere to the Arizona Coyotes, threw in a couple draft picks to them too, and got nothing in return, which was a very interesting definition of the word trade. And then on Saturday, the Flyers traded Jake Voracek back home to Columbus, where he started, in a one-for-one trade to get Cam Atkinson. I think that's everything.
That's a whole lot of activity, which, you know, to you, does this sort of signify the Flyers going for it? Is this a new direction for the organization? Is this just a lot of chaos? Like, what do you think kind of the driving force behind all these moves has been?
It's interesting because it's actually very specifically targeted moves. And Chuck Fletcher has said that you can't bring back the same players each year and expect the same results. He doesn't want any more slow starts. He needed a change of energy in the room to create a different kind of leadership, new chemistry. And so he was making specific targeted moves to fill that top pairing defenseman slot. And then because he traded Phil Myers, get a second pairing defenseman, and then solve some problems on the offense in terms of getting a more shoot first mentality as opposed to passing. And the moves that he has made so far do, in fact, if they pan out, address those specific issues.
I feel like one of the big things that I saw from sort of Flyers fans was, especially after the Nolan Patrick move, you know, and after trading Gostisbehere, was just, wow, look at all the cap space we've opened up. We've, you know, we can make big move, we can do something big. And everyone was sort of trying to anticipate what that next move was going to be. And then the next move was Rasmus Ristolainen, which I feel like had a lot of people scratching their heads. Where do you think that he's going to fit in on this team? Do you think that that move is as bad as sort of some of the first hot takes were? What's your concern level, I guess, around adding Ristolainen?
Look, it's a terrible move on paper. It was an extremely high price to pay for a guy that, as far as analytics are concerned, is terrible. Rasmus Ristolainen looks absolutely terrible on paper and to the eye test to some degree. There are some things that he does in terms of his physicality and his work on the power play that people have said good things about. That being said, Chuck Fletcher's argument for Ristolainen, because he was asked specifically by Charlie O'Connor from The Athletic about that very thing of the eye test versus analytics and how he could justify such a high price for that trade. And he said, look, Buffalo has been a pretty bad team for a while with changing coaching staffs on a yearly basis, plus Ristolainen had a pretty bad case of COVID this year, which could explain why he played pretty terribly this past year. And he just felt that given the proper placement in the lineup, so in this case for the Flyers, he would play a second pairing defenseman role paired with Travis Sanheim, as opposed to the top pairing defenseman minutes role he was playing in Buffalo, which was a ridiculous task because of how terrible Buffalo is overall, that he could find great success. And he was confident in Ristolainen's ability to turn it around. I don't know if he's right or not, but I accept the argument that Chuck Fletcher is making as a valid argument.
Well, I feel like the regular season is going to be here right around the corner, so it's not going to be too long before we get to find out how all these pieces fit together. I'll close with asking one question, looking a little bit forward, because we know free agency is starting very soon. Do you think the Flyers make any big moves in free agency? Do you think they're looking to fill any holes through that process? Or is it really going to be up to some of the prospects and these new additions via trade to kind of step up and move the team forward?
I think it's going to be a mix of all of those things. There will be some prospects that move up to permanent spots on the roster. And given all of the moves that the Flyers have made so far, they now have about $11 million-ish in the cap to get a backup goalie for Carter Hart and re-sign Carter Hart and Travis Sanheim. They're on RFAs right now. And I think that's plenty of room to do all of that. So expect, I don't know if it'll be flashy, but expect a backup goalie signing for sure. And then if there's room after the Carter Hart and Travis Sanheim deals, potentially someone that could play a 3C role.
Thank you for joining the show to kind of break down your team's big moves, some of which were more surprising than I think anyone had expected. For people who want to keep up more with the Flyers and learn what's going on over there, where can they find you and your show online?
I'm at R Miriam. That's R-M-I-R-I-A-M. And the show is at Locked On Flyers.
We close today by taking a look at the ongoing, potentially never-ending Jack Eichel saga that is coming up next. First, though, you could probably go right now to betonline.ag and actually place a bet as to where you think Jack Eichel's going to end up. I'm going to go ahead and take a guess that that is a thing that they are putting out odds for. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action, so it doesn't matter what sport it is you're into. If it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, fighting, I bet you can probably bet on that big fancy sports thing happening over in Japan. I bet you might be able to find some odds there. Whatever it is, you can find all the latest, greatest news, information, odds, sign-up bonuses, contests, and more by heading to betonline.ag. So get into the game, get into all of the action by heading to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Maybe the biggest news of the draft and the trade deadlines and all that stuff is the move that didn't happen, which is that Jack Eichel currently, as of this recording, is still a Buffalo Sabre. So here to talk with us about all of the moves that Buffalo made and or didn't make, we've got Joe DiBiase of Locked On Sabres, as well as here on Locked On NHL, to give us the latest as to what is going on up there. So, Joe, we'll actually start with a fun one, which is Owen Power. How excited are you and the Sabres fan base to have landed this defenseman? I know your very first mock draft pick decided to skip him, yes, but you came around to him eventually. So how are you feeling with that pick?
Yeah, on first reaction to winning the lottery and our mock draft that we did for Locked On NHL, I took Luke Hughes over Power, But after more careful research and really just watching more shift-to-shift analysis of Owen Power and what he did at the World Championships, you could not have – he had to be number one. He had to be number one. He's ready to play in the NHL, I think, right now. Doesn't mean he has to be in the NHL. Michigan is maybe going to have the best college hockey team we've ever seen with 7 first-round picks. 4 of the top 5 picks are going to be on that team next year. But, I mean, he seems to have franchise defenseman-level capabilities. I don't know that he has the dynamic skating or stick handling to be some of the fun and exciting guys that are coming through the league now, like Cale Makar. But, I mean, if he turns into Victor Hedman, you're not going to hear me complaining because that's a Norris-level defenseman. I think that's a high bar to reach. But I think that's about as good as he could do for his career. And I don't see a lot of downside because of the way he plays and because his passing is so good, getting it out of his own end, that I think at worst, this is a top 4 defenseman. And at best, I mean, we could be looking at the next Victor Hedman.
Now, I know there have been some reports that he may return to Michigan. And like you said, this is going to be a phenomenal team out there. Has there been any more kind of news about what he may be doing, what way he's leaning on that one?
I think the latest we saw is that just he actually came out and said that he's leaning towards staying in Michigan. And then his teammate Matthew Beniers said that he had also heard that Owen was leaning towards staying at Michigan. And I think Saber fans aren't really upset about that. I mean, fans are excited about the direction of the team because the product's been getting stale and we're on a 10-year playoff drought. Like, if we're going to go young, let's do it now. Let's not wait another 2 years and then start another rebuild. So I think fans are getting behind a lot of these young pieces, but they also recognize that this team's going to be really bad next year. I mean, even if they're fun and young and like the prospect pool's improved, this team's not going to be good next year. So why would you want Owen Power playing 17 minutes a night on the worst team in hockey when he could go to Michigan, play 25 minutes a night as a number one defenseman and win a national championship? I don't see any harm in that. And I think I'd be surprised if he was on the Sabres next year and not at Michigan.
I think it's kind of refreshing to see that. I know that there's always, of course, so much pressure for number one draft picks to return or to go to the NHL. And it is really nice to hear that the fan base is actually kind of chill about this one and is like, yeah, let's let this guy develop in his own time and actually be patient with this. I think that's a very healthy attitude, I think, at this point to take regarding prospects.
Yeah, it's not come without pain along the way. I mean, part of the reason I think fans are accepting towards that idea, especially since I don't think a first overall pick hasn't come right to the NHL since Eric Johnson. It's been 15 years since that happened. But I think we've been burned by guys like Casey Mittelstadt being rushed into the NHL, Tage Thompson being rushed into the NHL. So when you have recent examples of guys that showed up right away and it didn't work out, I think that as well, when fans are looking at it, it's like, okay, well, let's not rush this one.
Well, the Sabres have made some other moves to clear up cap space and to move out some players who didn't necessarily have a future on this team, knowing that it's kind of going back into another sort of rebuild cycle. What can you tell us about the moves that the Sabres made over the weekend to change around some personnel?
So I think we all knew big trades were coming. I mean, it would have been a surprise to me at the beginning of the offseason if you told me that one of Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhardt, or Rasmus Ristolainen wouldn't be traded. I always thought all three would. And you had two of them traded on draft weekend. Eichel stays for now. But the first trade, I mean, we were over the moon to see the return for Rasmus Ristolainen. We've been wanting to see this guy traded for 5 years. And I think I and many had given up hope that they would ever get something of value for him, especially with only 1 year left on his contract. But, man, Chuck Fletcher stepped up. That guy pays a first round pick, which was a high first round pick, by the way, the 13th selection. They get a second round pick in 2 years, fine, whatever. And then a throw in defenseman, Robert Hägg, is going to play probably third pair for the Sabres next year. But they get a first round pick that they use on Isaac Rosen, who already jumps into the Sabres prospect pool as one of their highest ranking forward prospects. That one, I don't think they could have done better. And we saw it on Friday. Like, there was a premium on NHL defensemen that play 20-plus minutes a night around the league. Oliver Ekman-Larsson goes for the 9th overall pick in a mega deal to Vancouver. Seth Jones goes to Chicago for multiple first-round picks. So I was very pleased to see what the Ristolainen return was, but kind of down on what they got for Sam Reinhardt. I kind of understand why it happened, They get a goalie prospect in Devon Levy, who's been a late blooming prospect. He was a 7th round pick, but I would consider his value to be a lot higher than where his draft status was. I mean, there's a reason that the kid took over the Canadian net at the World Juniors last year for Team Canada and had one of the best tournaments that they've ever seen there. So that looks promising as a just kind of a prospect that could give you something down the road. And then you get a 1st round pick next year, and that might sound good, but Florida is probably going to be really good. They're like 6th in Stanley Cup odds. So it's probably going to be a really low 1st round pick. And many, I think, would have thought Reinhart should have got a bigger return than Ristolainen. It's a 60 to 70 point forward who's coming off a career year and proved finally that he can play center. Like, how does that at 24 years old not go for more than that? But I think what you now look at is, well, he's got 1 year left in his deal like Ristolainen. But I don't know, from reading the tea leaves, it seems like Philadelphia was a lot more confident Ristolainen would sign a long-term deal there than Florida was that Reinhart would with the Panthers. So kind of disappointing on the Reinhart return, but over the moon on the Ristolainen return. So I think if you put it all together, I think they did well. I don't think they did great, but I think they did well with when you combine both trades.
Well, we'll close with kind of the elephant in the room, which is Jack Eichel, who is, as we've said, still a Buffalo Sabre. What is the latest on that? Do you think that this trade is going to happen? Do you have any sort of indication as to where talks are or who's in the running for making a deal for this one?
Man, I am trying to figure out like what the timing's going to look like on this. Is he going to go into the season on this team? Would they be accepting to the idea that he would be on this team going into the season? Because it seems like the Sabres want to be done with this. They want to move on from Eichel. They want to send him west, even. That report's out there that they don't even want him in the conference, even have to watch him more than 3 times a year. And given that you just drafted Owen Power, you're getting all these young pieces, like, all right, let's turn the page and let's start looking towards the future. And as long as Eichel is on the team and that trade is hanging over your heads, you can't do that all the way. So I don't know whether he gets traded this offseason, though, because as we just saw in the Reinhart deal, mate, the forward market, not just Reinhart, by the way, Pavel Buchnevich goes from the Rangers to the Blues. He was a point-a-game player last year almost, and he only fetches a 2nd-round pick and a 4th liner. Like, maybe the forward market is just not good around the league right now. And if that's the case, do you trade Eichel? I think maybe one argument why you shouldn't that's differing from Reinhart, because Reinhart could have left in 1 year, technically speaking, because he's an RFA, but he would have only signed a 1 year deal and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Eichel's still under contract for 5 years. And I know you probably don't want to deal with that headache, but you can sit on it for a long time if you really want to. And you got to get that trade right. You gave up a season 6 years ago to get this guy and he's dynamite and he's 24 years old. Those players just don't become available at the center position ever in the NHL. So you've got to cash out. And if you're being lowballed, then I'm glad that the Sabres didn't just say, all right, let's just take the best offer that's on the table for us and be done with it. They should get proper value and not just take the best of a bunch of bad deals. They're talking to Montreal now, it sounds like. Minnesota is still in the running. I've always been down on the idea that the Rangers could get this done. I don't think they have the assets or the motivation to do it. And I don't think the Sabres want to send him east if they can control it. I think Anaheim has the best assets to make the deal, but I think their chances are starting to dwindle. Seems like they're not as motivated as like a Minnesota. I think the Wild would be the favorite. If you made me create odds for this, I think the Wild would be my favorite. I think that sort of organization that has not had a franchise number one center in 21 years in this league, and this is their opportunity to do it. Like, how often do you get a chance at those guys? You either get it at the top of the draft. The Wild are never there because they're always at least pretty good. And big free agents that have become available really begins and ends with John Tavares at the center position. I'm not like Brad Richards. Does he even qualify? Probably not. So this is a 24-year-old center you can have on your team for a decade, is one of the top 5 to top 10 centers in the league. Like, maybe that's the team that has the prospects to go get him. So if you made me pick a team, I think I would go with the Wild for Eichel.
Well, this is something that we and, of course, the rest of the hockey world are going to be keeping an eye on. And you can pretty much guarantee as soon as a Jack Eichel move happens that you're going to be right back here on this show to break it all down for us, as well as, of course, your own editions of Locked On NHL. So thank you for joining me here on the show. Where can people find you and your show when they want to learn more?
Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports. If you're listening to this podcast, check out our Tuesday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast with me and Mike DiStefano. And then the Locked On Sabres podcast with me and my co-host Jordan Hanskin on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. That's the one thing, by the way, about the Eichel trade not happening. It allows us to have more content on that front for the rest of the summer.
Well, you have lots to talk about going forward. So thank you so much for joining on the show, and enjoy the rest of your offseason while you can.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate it.
That is it for today's show. Thank you so much to all of my guests for joining me. You will be able to hear more great news from the NHL all on this show all week long as we bring you the biggest updates. And of course, free agency happens later this week, so you're absolutely going to hear all the news that's fit to podcast print while you're listening to Locked On NHL. If you want to find me in the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show is on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Give us both a follow. Make sure you never miss anything that is out there in the world of NHL podcasts. You can also find Locked On Kings, the show I also host, at Locked On LA Kings on Twitter. If you, I guess, are a huge Brant Clark fan, I think that's pretty cool. You can come say hi. That is it for today. Make sure you're following this show wherever you get your podcasts. Go subscribe. If you're loving what you're hearing, leave us a rating. We love those 5 stars on Apple or wherever you can leave a rating for your podcast. And of course, you know, tell people how cool we are. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day this week for more hockey news here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.